Hello and welcome to the 29th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm TJ Deitch, your host and the proprietor of poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com, the site that hosts this very podcast. I hope everyone had a good week. We actually had a relatively off week last week. Between going to a music class filled with kids and a birthday party filled with kids, we all three got sick. It started with Lucy. She just had a runny nose. And it's that thing with kids where they don't even seem to care that they have a cold. So she was still running around when she was all, you know, snotty and and gross. So I just kept kind of wiping her down with a tissue, and that worked out pretty well. It's funny. I don't know, of all the things that I thought I would have to teach my kid, I never thought that how to blow your nose would be on that list. Every time we say, okay, blow your nose, she goes, achoo, like a fake sneeze. And she actually says, achoo. It's not like a sneeze sound. It's those exact words. So that one's been interesting. She still hasn't quite figured it out yet. That, which made, you know, the whole runny nose thing a little bit more difficult. But then my wife got sick and she actually came home from work because she didn't want to, you know, get everybody else sick. And then I got sick towards the end of the day that she came home from work. I didn't have it too bad, just kind of a little bit of a runny nose and a tiny bit of congestion. Lucy had some congestion too, but again, none of that seemed to bother her. My wife worked from home the next day and then went back to work, so she was pretty much better by the time she went back. And Lucy still got a little bit of it. I'm sure we all kind of have a little bit of it left, but I mean, that's just kind of how it works. So that was interesting. It made me realize, though, like how kind of generally tired I am all the time now. And again, part of it's my fault because I like to stay up late. That kind of gives me a little bit of me time where I get to watch my movies and whatnot, watch some TV or read or whatever. But you don't really think about when you're a parent and you're kind of in it, how interrupted your sleep is on a regular basis. She's in a bed now so she can get out and walk into bed, which is actually better for me because I was the one that would go and get her out of her crib. So that's actually better for me. But you know, anytime she's in bed, she kind of moves around a lot, which is, as I've said before, kind of karma for me because I did the same thing with my parents. I'm a very moving sleeper. I don't really stay still. So between the two of us, we kind of clock into each other quite a bit. And the cat's at my feet and all that. And I mean, we have a queen-size bed, so it's not tiny by any means, but it feels tiny. And you just kind of wake up when you're a parent. You just wake up at little noises here and there. And sometimes I wake up, like, as she's waking up in her room and coming into ours. But, like, this morning it was fine because she got up at, like, 6. And my wife actually got into the shower for work before Lucy even came into our room. But her going to bed schedule was really off this whole week because she was sick and the usual routine got kind of screwed up. And so she was just kind of up with us later in the evening than normal, which wasn't terrible. It gets a little weird with, you know, some of the shows we want to watch, especially Once Upon a Time, which just premiered on Sunday. It's a show we really like. We watched the first season on Netflix in time to watch the second season when it started on ABC, and then watched all the way through and then picked it up again last night on Sunday. It's not like an overly violent show. There's definitely some menacing characters that I think probably confuse, that are a little scary for kids. But I think what really confuses her is that all these characters, for the most part, have names of characters from, you know, Disney movies and other fairy tales. So we're like, Em and I are talking, we're like, oh, look, I wonder if this is when the Little Mermaid shows up. And then she's like, Little Mermaid? Little Mermaid? And there's like a mermaid who's captured on a boat that gets turned to stone. All this stuff. And we're like, oh boy, we probably shouldn't. We should probably be a little bit more selective in how we refer to these things. And like, Peter Pan's in this, and as we saw at the end of last season, he's not exactly a good guy. Lost Boys are kind of menacing. Like, all these things are going on, and like, oh, they're all characters that she kind of knows, and we don't want to terrify her, because she's also getting into that stage where she's starting to become afraid of things, or at least say she's afraid of things. As a geek and a longtime comic book reader, I feel like I'm failing as a father because she saw the spines of my Batman the Animated Series DVDs over in the corner of the room. And she was like, scary, scary. And I kind of went over there and I was looking to see what she saw because I couldn't tell from my angle. And she was like, scary, scary. And she pointed and I was like, you think Batman's scary? She goes, yeah, Batman's scary. I was like, oh no. And then she saw him on the spine of another book and she just keeps saying that Batman's scary. And I can't tell if she's doing it to get a rise out of me or to, because she really means it, but That's a tough one. I don't know what to do about that. There's something else. Oh, she thinks my Spider-Man statue that I have up on my bookshelf is scary. And it's a little scary because it's kind of like stylized and got webs all over the place. But my Aunt Christy gave me that when I moved out here for my wizard job. And so I am not going to get rid of it. I might have to put it somewhere for a little bit if it does keep bothering her. But I think it's not that big of a deal for her. The other big thing about this week was that my parents came out and visited. They drove Friday, stayed in a hotel in Pennsylvania, and then made it the rest of the way here as a very nice gesture. They got here in time to take Lucy to her music class so that Em and I could relax a little bit. We wound up going to get breakfast together, which was like the first time in as long as either of us could remember that the two of us just went out for a breakfast or like a quick casual meal. We went out on a date in Disney World, and we've gone out a couple times for like weddings and a few little dinners here and there when we're either staying with a set of parents or they come to visit us. But for just like a casual thing, like this place Fiddlesticks, which we both love in Cornwall, that does like daily specials for lunch and breakfast. It's probably been since Lucy was born that we've gone there, just the two of us. So that was kind of interesting and fun and, you know, just all the little things that you don't even realize. Like, you're not going to have to hold off on you or your partner eating so the kid can eat or eat off your plate or move around from person to person or worry about her going to grab the dirty toys that are there or the, you know, falling on the floor and touching the floor. All this stuff that, like, you know, that kind of, like, general parent worrying that just goes on anytime your child is near you and awake and moving, that can kind of go down a little bit. After that, we came back home. And my parents got back with Lucy. She was kind of sleepy, but she wound up waking up and did not go down for a nap. So she was kind of running around here. And then since my parents hadn't gotten lunch, they decided to take Lucy to Panera. And they figured, we all kind of figured that she would fall asleep on the way there, but it wound up not happening. And then they went to a playground. It was kind of nice because it gave, you know, my wife took a nap. She was the one that got up early Saturday with Lucy. So she took a nap and I got to start reading a book that I've been wanting to read for a while. I do this thing over on United Monkey, my pop culture blog, called the Ambitious Reading List. It started off as an ambitious summer reading list. And basically I've got literally boxes of books that I own that I have not read yet. Plus a bookshelf full of books that I have read, but maybe it's been a while. And I'm starting to keep an eye out on like Kindle and Amazon for, you know, like good deals on books there. And I'm always looking to try something out. And I don't really spend a lot of money on books, even though it might sound like it. The main sources, like I said, Amazon sales for Kindle books. You know, I don't think I've ever paid more than like $4 for a book on there. The Barnes & Noble and previously Borders like sale tables. They basically overbuy on books that are supposed to be really popular, or they get like better deals on buying in higher bulk. And so once those books aren't super popular anymore, they go down to like $5, $6, $7 on the cheap tables. Of course, Borders isn't around anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't have a bunch of books from Borders that I still need to read. And then the other source for me is a chain in New England. I think it's like New Hampshire and Massachusetts, maybe a couple more states, I'm not quite sure, called Building 19. Now, this is like a Big Lots type store that we pretty much always go to when we're visiting Em's parents in New Hampshire. They've got a great book section, and we're talking books that are like $3 and $4 a piece. So you can really get a lot of interesting stuff. Some of it's from a few years ago, but I'm not really the type of person that needs to read a book right away. And in fact, I can't even think of the last book that I bought new that wasn't a trade paperback for comics. Like new right when it came out, not like new quality wise. So I've got a lot of old books. And so the ambitious reading list is basically me taking anywhere between like 8 and 12 books from my different boxes and piles and to read bins and just kind of putting them together and saying, these are the ones that I'm going to focus on. Because when you've got so many books, it's like, oh, well, what am I going to read next? So narrowing it down a little bit kind of helps. The last one that I did, I didn't finish. I've only read like 3.5 of the books. Two of them just didn't really sit with me, and I just didn't really get to the other ones. Nothing really was exciting. I was trying to do more of like an academic one a little bit with that. So for this one, which I wrote about on United Monkey, and I'll link to in the show notes over on Pop Papa, I'm basically doing Halloween themed book. So anything with like ghosts or monsters or anything like that, I'm going towards. I'm also rereading a couple things, which should be fun, like The Shining, which I read in, I think, high school, and same with Interview with a Vampire, and then a couple sequels. I'm reading Mike Carey's second Felix Kastner novel, which is called Vicious Circle, along with the second book in the Strain series by Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan. So I'm pretty excited about that, and they might not be like highbrow books or by any means, but they're books that I'm excited about and ones that I really want to get back into. Plus, I'm kind of sort of working on this like haunting story, and I don't actually, as much as I love horror movies, I don't actually read a lot of horror or scary books. So I'm kind of hoping that I can absorb some of the tone elements from these books and maybe take a few notes and kind of beef that story up, because I feel like I've got the bones pretty well, but like actually making it scary and maybe haunting or whatever is more difficult, and that's kind of what I need to work on. So it's definitely fun. It's a way to kind of cross books off of my list and either put them on the bookshelf or donate them to the library or whatever. Because for my actual bookshelf, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to earn a space on there, which means I need to earn it by actually reading it, which means I took off things like the copy of Ulysses that I've had since college that I've only read a few chapters of, just for one thing, to make space. And others, I feel like you should have actually read all the books on your bookshelf, unless it's a to-read bookshelf, of course. So anyway, that was kind of a crazy tangent, but I got to start one of the books and get kind of into it, and that gets me more excited about reading. I don't know about you guys, but if I read something and it doesn't really grab me right away, it not only makes me not want to read that book, it makes me not really want to read books. And since I've also always got a stack of trades and comic books to read, it's like, well, I can read those a lot faster and kind of be done with it and get the visual enjoyment and all this stuff. So the more bored I get, it's not just with that book, it winds up being generalized into reading, and so I kind of miss some stuff. But I'm hoping I can keep up. I've got, I think, 9 books in this pile. There's no way I'm going to be able to actually finish those. One of them I'm actually doing a list on for Topless Robot, so that one's definitely going to get done, and hopefully this novel and a couple others. So we'll see how it goes, but it's fun to kind of think about. But 30 days and 9 books for me is ridiculous and will not happen, especially because I'm pretty busy, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. My parents had Lucy out for a while. They went to the playground. She wasn't napping at all. They finally came back. We watched the Notre Dame game. They got slaughtered and just looked terrible doing it. So that was bad. And my mom wound up making dinner for us, which was nice. So it was kind of nice to have somebody kind of come in and take care of us a little bit and take care of Lucy so we could kind of relax. I mean, we weren't really sick as much anymore, but we don't really get that a lot. And I told Em this the other day, one of my kind of big regrets about parenting so far has been that we didn't really find anybody to be a babysitter, because obviously you'd prefer to go with people that you know or whatever, but just to have somebody kind of that is established with us would be nice too, because I'm a little bit worried that if she's getting into this like fear stage, that that's going to kind of generalize into stranger danger, which is not a terrible thing to have, especially for such like an outgoing kid. But I wonder if she would react to like a new person coming into the house at this point. So I don't know. We didn't really go after it. We also don't really, you know, do too much, but it probably would have been a good idea to start getting somebody in a little bit earlier, so Lucy could get used to it, we could get used to it and all that. But I mean, you live and learn, and I'm sure it'll be something that we deal with in the relative future, but who knows. My parents actually stayed here. The hotels were all booked up, and we still don't really know why, but we were able to do an inflatable mattress in the living room, and so they stayed here, and that worked out. I mentioned a little bit before about how busy this week is. That's definitely not an understatement by any means. Last week, towards the end, got pretty busy because I wound up doing 2 phone interviews on Thursday and Friday, transcribing them both, getting them both ready. I turned one in on Friday, and I turned the other one in on Sunday. So that was a lot of work. And then looking ahead to this week, I've got 2 phone interviews set up for the day that this goes live on Tuesday. And then I've got another one on Thursday, and I might have a 4th one during the week. We'll see. Plus, we're going to our friend's wedding in Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh this weekend, and we're actually leaving Friday, so I'm going to have a lot of stuff to do Thursday. because it's like a 6-hour drive with a kid. It usually adds a whole extra hour for extra stops and whatnot. Although she's pretty good, but we'll see. I don't know. That's just kind of the math I tend to do when we figure these trips out now. So with Friday pretty much off the table and then being busy Saturday and then coming back Sunday, I've got to transcribe the Thursday night interview for sure and get that one turned in. I'm going to try and do that Thursday as best I can. I've also got to write my spinoff posts either that night or the next morning before we leave, and we're looking to leave at like 9, so we'll see how that goes. And then I've also got to finish up my toy column, which I usually turn in Friday afternoon, but I'm probably going to turn in Thursday night, which means I'm going to miss a day of like possible coverage, which I kind of hate, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. And that's pretty much what I got to do at this point. So looking at a pretty heavy week, which is good money-wise. It's just, it's one of those weird things where, like, for some reason I thought this was going to be a lighter week, and then it wasn't, and it never was, but I just had that idea in my head. I don't know. I don't know why that happens, but it happened, so there you go. One thing that's definitely new with Lou that kind of my parents noticed, and we've been noticing a little bit here and there, is that she certainly went through a growth spurt. Now, it's hard for me to tell, and my wife too, because, like, we're always with her. I'm always with her, like, every day, all the time. My wife's obviously sees her every day, but my parents were both like, wow, she's really taller. Like, they said that you could tell that her, like, legs were longer, and she just looked bigger. I didn't really notice it, but I think I mentioned in last week's episode how she had been really clumsy and kind of in kind of a bad mood for a couple days there. And I think I even mentioned that, kind of postulated later, that it was because she was going through growing pains, and that makes you clumsy because your body's changing, and it makes you sore because your body's changing. So we think she's at the end of that because she's not really eating as much and she's not falling over as much, but she is in longer pants for sure because her like PJ pants were looking pretty short. So that's been kind of an interesting thing. It's always neat to see your kid through somebody else's eyes because, you know, you miss a lot of stuff being around them all the time that they might pick up on right away. So that was kind of cool. Something else that came from my parents' visit, quite literally, was they brought this box of cars that I had as a kid. When I mentioned it to my mom, I was thinking of Matchbox cars because she's got this shiny limousine one that she likes. But she found this box of, like, much bigger cars, and Lucy loved them. I could not believe it. These are like heavy, about half of them are like heavy metal toys that are like 6 inches long, like not little tiny Matchbox, but actually like standard or substantial cars. And she put them all out on the kitchen tables, playing with them. And I realized, I was talking to my mom and dad, and I was like, I don't actually remember getting these toys. Like, for a lot of my action figures, I can kind of remember, like, if not getting that specific one, just kind of the thrill of, like, getting a new action figure. Cars weren't really my thing. I mean, I would get Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars every now and then, and I liked kind of the sets where you could put them down the, like, the ramps and everything, but they weren't, like, a huge thing that I loved and collected. These cars were just kind of always there, and I remember playing with them, and I remember certain cars, you know, having very vivid memories of playing with, but I didn't remember getting many of them. And then I was looking at them, and the dates on them are like 1972, 1975, 1978. I was born in 1983, and my mom thinks that they were actually given to me by a neighbor who had an older son, which would definitely make sense. And the craziest thing is, like, these are in really good shape. And she's having a great time playing with them. While she was kind of playing, I took her bucket of friends, we call them, which are basically her little plastic and PVC toys that are mostly Sesame Street characters and Disney characters. And I just kind of put them over there. And then she and my mom started making like a parade. And I've got all these great pictures that I will get in Photo Diary once I finally get caught up. But, you know, they've got like the cars in the middle and some of the toys on top and the characters kind of all around watching and waving, and it was just really cool. And as, you know, both my parents mentioned, her playing with those toys really reminded them of me playing with toys, because I would just sit there on the couch or on the floor and really set up these kind of whole elaborate play themes with toys of all shapes and sizes and just have a really good time with it. And they were like, man, that looks just like you. And even I kind of, you know, I remember doing that, because I did it for a while. You know, I still played with action figures through grade school probably. and then kept collecting until now. Really, I just don't buy too many because, as one of the guys that I used to talk to in the toy industry said, you know, he used to buy a lot of toys, but once you get a kid, you feel like your toy budget should probably go to them instead of yourself, which definitely makes sense. So, toys have been something that I've loved forever, and I've made a fair amount of my money off of them, which is cool. So just seeing her kind of be so into toys that were mine and somebody else's before her, me even, was really cool. So that was fun. Well, folks, since I have less time to kind of put everything together this week, I am going to make this a bit of a shorter show, which means we are going to move into the regular portions, including Pop Papa of the Week. Now, if you're like one of the millions and millions of people that watched Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you might have noticed a character simply referred to as Mike for most of the episode. Now, he's not one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The show is on ABC. It's a spinoff of the Marvel Studios movies, most directly the Avengers movie, because it's got a couple of the characters from there appearing. But it's basically these normal people working for a government agency that's trying to keep tabs on some of the more superpowered elements that are kind of popping up now that, you know, characters like Iron Man and Thor are around. They can't take care of everything, so there's this other group. The first episode, which was actually wildly popular and did really well for the network, which is a good sign. I thought it was a tiny bit slow and dull, but I think there's some potential there that I hope gets met. The actual episode revolved around a guy who was looking like super strong and had all these powers, and they were trying to find him to see like where he got his powers and what was going on. As the episode progressed, it looked like he was kind of going crazy or maybe letting the power corrupt him a little bit and doing some things that he shouldn't, like attacking his old boss and things along those lines. But what we find out as the episode reaches its conclusion is that he's actually been experimented on and given some tech that makes you basically go crazy. So it's not really his fault. Well, it's still kind of his fault. But the reason you really keep liking this character of Mike, played by J. August Richards, is that he is a dad. And he's a hardworking guy just trying to get by, but he's dealing with a boss that stinks and kind of a system that doesn't really support him specifically in the way that he needs. And so he tries to go this alternate route and see what happens. Unfortunately, he's being experimented on by basically a mad scientist and given something that they know is going to make him go crazy and basically explode at some point. And it's up to the S.H.I.E.L.D. team to stop him. And it just kind of gets into the complex feelings that you have when you're a parent. He might have done all this stuff if he did not have a kid, but part of the reason that he was trying to better himself was to give his kid a better station in life, make him more comfortable, get him in a good school, all this kind of stuff. And so he probably made some decisions that he wouldn't have made normally to kind of skip ahead a little bit, maybe make some money, get some power, and try to become something more than he was. And of course, that doesn't always work out. And we don't really know what's up with this character in the future. He might come back, he might not. He's, spoiler, if you haven't seen the episode, I'll give you a couple seconds here. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, spoiler, he's not dead at the end of the episode. He's still alive. And so there's potential for him to come back and maybe redeem himself, both in his eyes and the government's, and maybe even his son's. And that's kind of really what, you know, I think we want as parents. We all make mistakes, and we want to hopefully make up for them if and when we can. But that's not always the case. It was just as likely that this guy would have exploded all over the place as not. So it's, you know, one of those make your choices wisely kind of stories, basically. And try not to skip ahead too much, because sometimes you will get smacked down for doing that. All right, that is going to bring us right into the Pop Papa Seal of Approval, which I'm giving to another book. I think this is the second time I've done that, but Lou is really starting to get kind of into reading and rereading and rereading and rereading books. And this one is called Lulu Ladybug by Sam Washaw. This book's pretty simple. I mean, of course, it's a kid's book. But basically, the idea is that little Lulu is kind of an older ladybug, and her mom has a ton of little tiny ladybugs that she's taking care of. So Lulu offers to help basically run errands for her mom. And as she does so, she runs into things like cats and frogs and spiders that all want to eat her. First she says, hey, please don't eat me. I just need such and such. Here's what I'll do if you don't eat me and give me that thing. And then she whispers, and you don't know what it is until the very end, and it's having a big old party. It's a fun, it's a simple book. I really like the art style in it. The flowers are really cool. Lucy always likes pointing those out. And the characters are all cute. And I think it's always neat when you can kind of relate somebody's name to it. What I also like about books like this is that it gives you like a little bit of, you know, you can explain things to them and like kind of frame it for them. Like when the ladybug has all the clothes drying on the clothesline, Lucy goes, oh, underpants. So it's like, okay, yeah, sure. That's kind of what we're dealing with right now. We're still trying to get into potty training, but it's not happening. So it's like, okay, sure, those are underpants. And then Lulu carries kind of like a satchel bag, like one of those old hobo bags, but it's not on a stick, it's on a string. And Lucy's like, what's that? And I said, oh, it's a purse, which is something that she understands because she's got a couple and she sees her mom's and all this stuff. So, and she was able to kind of understand that. So now every time we go through the book, she points out, oh, purse, and there's bees and flowers and all these other things that she can kind of point at and get into. And it's funny because she sometimes when reading books will kind of talk while you're talking and you're not really sure what she's saying, but we're pretty sure that she's trying to do the story herself, if not actually doing it, and we just can't quite understand her. The only problem with not necessarily this book specifically, but kind of all the books, is that she basically gets a few pages in and then wants to read a different book or go to the next parent or person in the room and all this stuff, and you wind up kind of like starting over a lot, which can be far too repetitive for an adult, but just the right amount of repetitive for a kid. So we've kind of started just picking up where we left off, and she doesn't seem to mind. So that seems to be a good little tip for reading to kids, because she doesn't seem to care. And if it means we don't have to repeat the exact same thing over and over and over again 20 times a day, then it's that's a thumbs up for me. All right, gang, that's going to wrap things up. Hope you don't mind this shorter episode. It's a bit of a crazy week, so hopefully you will enjoy this. And I will be back next week. As always, I am TJ Deitch, the host of the Pop Pop and Napcast. You can check out everything I talked about on this episode over on poppapa.com. Again, that's poppapa.com. That'll have all the links to everything I talked about, as well as Amazon links to any of the products. If you're interested in any of them and you want to check them out, please go to Pop Papa first and then click the link, because that can kind of kick a little bit of money back to me, which will be good. If you want to check out more of my pop culture writings, head on over to United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. And I swear I'm trying to get back to posting on Monkeying Around the Kitchen more often and just haven't gotten around to it yet. That's MonkeyingAroundTheKitchen, no spaces.com. Everything spelled normally. And, of course, I am on Twitter at Papadeitch. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T. S-C-H. All right, gang, have a good week.